You're listening to an African Elements top news story for July 8, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Inside the federal housing lawsuit saving vulnerable lives. To understand the modern crisis, one must examine the deep historical roots of housing segregation in America. During the middle of the 20th century, systemic housing practices actively denied Black Americans the opportunity to own homes. The federal government drew literal red lines on maps around majority Black neighborhoods, declaring them hazardous for investments. Urban planners and developers intentionally designed infrastructure to cut off minority communities from economic centers. This historical exclusion meant that wealth could not be passed down to children. Consequently, banks refused to issue federally backed mortgages to residents in those targeted zones. In addition, predatory real estate agents engaged in blockbusting to stoke racial fear among white homeowners. These agents convinced white families to sell their homes cheaply, which accelerated the flight of capital to suburban communities. The properties were then resold to Black buyers at highly inflated prices. These discriminatory schemes stripped wealth from families of color. They left urban neighborhoods divested of both public and private resources. Today, those historical policies continue to drive the racial wealth gap. Because homeownership is the primary engine of middle-class wealth, locking Black families out created permanent economic instability. Consequently, Black Americans are disproportionately vulnerable to housing insecurity today, comprising 40% of the unhoused population. This legacy demonstrates how historical oppression paved the way for modern homelessness. For many decades, the standard response to homelessness relied on a staircase model. This treatment-first approach forced unhoused individuals to prove they were ready for housing. Under this system, people had to graduate through transitional shelters. They had to demonstrate complete sobriety, mental health, compliance, or employment before earning a permanent home. Unfortunately, this model created a revolving door. Vulnerable individuals with severe mental health issues frequently fell out of the system. During the early 1990s, psychologist Dr. Sam Semberis developed a radical alternative called Housing First. He established Pathways to Housing to test a simple but powerful theory. The model treats stable housing as a basic human right rather than a reward for clinical compliance. It provides immediate, unconditional access to permanent housing without preconditions. He observed that stable shelter provides the psychological safety required to address other life challenges. Without safety, clinical treatments often fail to produce long-term results. Once an individual is safely housed, supportive services are offered on a voluntary basis. These services include mental health care, substance use treatment, and vocational training. The Bush and Obama administrations adopted this model after realizing that leaving individuals on the streets was incredibly expensive. For over 20 years, this bipartisan agreement prioritized permanent supportive housing as the gold standard of care. This approach was formalized under the Hearth Act of 2009, which structured how communities prioritized federal grants. A massive body of scientific research supports the Housing First model. Early studies of the Pathways to Housing program revealed that 79% of participants remain stably housed after 6 months. By contrast, only 27% of individuals in traditional, abstinence-based programs remained housed. After 2 years, Housing First participants spent almost no time unhoused. Similarly, a randomized controlled trial in Santa Clara County confirmed these findings in 2020. The study focused on high-risk, chronically unhoused individuals with severe medical disabilities. It found that 86% of participants placed in supportive housing maintained their stability for years. The clinical stability achieved by the participants also led to reduced substance use and improved mental health outcomes over time. These numbers show that immediate housing solves the immediate crisis of homelessness. Beyond the human benefits, permanent supportive housing delivers incredible taxpayer savings. Providing stable housing reduces the strain on public emergency rooms, jails, and psychiatric wards. A report by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine found that supportive housing saves thousands of dollars per person annually. Analysts noted that the economic savings benefit local governments directly by lowering municipal expenses. In comparison, leaving high-need individuals on the street costs taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars each year. Despite decades of proven success, the federal government has initiated a dramatic political shift in national priorities. This change has triggered intense debate across the country. In July 2025, President Donald J. Trump signed Executive Order 14321. This order directed the Department of Housing and Urban Development to deprioritize Housing First programs. The administration argued that the existing approach had failed to clear street encampments. HUD Secretary Eric Scott Turner asserted that federal funds must promote personal accountability. The new administration argues that housing assistance should be tied to mandatory drug treatment and sobriety. They believe that this treatment-first model will restore a proper continuum of care. Consequently, they want to incentivize able-bodied individuals to achieve self-sufficiency. The administration asserts that giving housing without obligations promotes dependency among recipients. They argue that federal resources must be preserved for those who actively participate in their own recovery. Advocates strongly reject this rationale. They warn that stripping funding from permanent housing will only cause street homelessness to skyrocket. This shift echoes historical patterns where vulnerable communities lost vital federal protections. The struggle highlights the competing visions for how the federal government should exercise its power. And to enact this policy shift, the federal government utilized administrative mechanisms. The primary tool is the Notice of Funding Opportunity, which is known as a NOFO. HUD uses this grant application process to distribute billions of dollars to local communities. In November 2025, HUD issued its fiscal year NOFO with an unprecedented 30% cap on permanent supportive housing renewals. This move attempted to bypass Congress and rewrite national housing policy. This administrative maneuver sparked immediate legal backlash. A coalition of 19 attorneys general and the National Alliance to End Homelessness filed a federal lawsuit. They argued that the cap would cut supportive housing funds by two-thirds. This reduction threatened to put 170,000 people at risk of losing their homes. On June 30, 2026, the federal court in Rhode Island delivered a major blow to HUD. The court vacated the 2025 NOFO, ruling that the funding restrictions were completely unlawful. The judge declared that the sudden shift violated the Administrative Procedure Act. The ruling called the policy change a hallmark of unreasoned decision-making. The court agreed that HUD failed to justify its sudden policy change with empirical evidence. Furthermore, the agency failed to consider the massive disruptions that the cap would cause to existing programs. This case demonstrated how the legal system can block arbitrary federal actions. Rather than complying with the spirit of the court ruling, the administration developed a workaround. On June 1, 2026, HUD issued its fiscal year 2026 funding notice. Instead of an explicit percentage cap, the new plan created a $1.3 billion set-aside. This funding is reserved exclusively for transitional housing and supportive service-only projects. Because the total federal funding pool is limited, this massive set-aside operates as a de facto cap on permanent housing. It effectively starves existing housing programs of their essential renewal funds. Standalone services, which are called supportive service-only projects, receive funding instead of actual homes. However, research shows that services are highly ineffective when people are in survival mode on the streets. When individuals do not have a physical home, they must focus on daily survival. This focus makes it impossible to attend counseling sessions or keep medical appointments regularly. This policy pivot triggered a second federal housing lawsuit on July 7, 2026. A larger coalition of 21 state attorneys general and two governors filed the action. They represent states such as California, Maryland, Michigan, and Massachusetts. The states argue that this new structure violates the Administrative Procedure Act once again. They assert that the policy threatens to evict 97,000 vulnerable residents. This legal challenge addresses the fundamental dynamics of federalism, where states fight back against federal actions. Tying housing access to sobriety and mandatory treatment disproportionately harms minority populations. This disparity stems from deep systemic inequalities in healthcare and law enforcement. Historically, disinvestment in communities of color has created massive barriers to high-quality medical and mental health treatments. Consequently, Black and Indigenous Americans have far less access to effective recovery programs. National studies show that Black and Indigenous clients are significantly less likely to complete outpatient substance use treatments. This lower completion rate is not a reflection of personal choice. It is the direct result of systemic barriers and underfunded facilities in their neighborhoods. Furthermore, racially biased drug enforcement creates legal hurdles that make compliance almost impossible for people of color. This historical legacy of unequal treatment means that minority individuals are often judged more harshly under strict guidelines. Consequently, they face a higher risk of being disqualified from essential housing programs. By imposing strict sobriety mandates, the federal government shuts the door on the very populations that need help the most. Decades of research show that stable housing is the clinical foundation of recovery. Without a safe place to live, overcoming addiction or mental illness is nearly impossible. Therefore, these policies threaten the resilience of Black families who are already struggling against systemic forces. The legal battle in Rhode Island represents a crucial turning point for civil rights and public health. This conflict showcases how states can act as a crucial shield against federal policy decisions that threaten vulnerable populations. States are stepping up to protect their citizens from sudden changes in federal guidelines. The outcome of this lawsuit will shape the landscape of American social policy for generations. For nearly 100,000 people, this legal case is a matter of survival. If the court does not block the new HUD funding rules, thousands of families may face eviction. The legal action highlights the ongoing effort to hold federal agencies accountable to the law. Civil rights groups emphasize that access to shelter must remain a bipartisan priority. The fight continues to demonstrate that housing security is fundamentally tied to racial and economic justice. Advocates remain committed to ensuring that evidence-based solutions are not replaced by ideological mandates. Copyright, African Elements.